JC2S, Part 2. Number 24A.
All right, so I'm just helping now with that work at home with this making of abstractions before we leave today. So I feel that that's the science and art, the at work in the economy of being. And you know, it even affects our life, don't we? When we go out from mentality, we chatter, 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 chatter. We think of all the words we try to say, use to explain to our friends something. We just, everywhere we go, huh? Chatter, 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 chatter. Well, that's that whole psychological realm of the psychiatrist says, come in now, tell me about yourself. And so we chatter, chatter, chatter. But we can see as we begin to rise more and more into that realm of mind, how we have the economy of words. It really quiets ourselves down, and we needn't have to talk so much to explain ourselves to our friends, that we can do that in even a more epitomized way. It becomes much more tone and feel, and there's much more understanding goes on within friends, and we don't have to explain ourselves. We finally come to the point where we know they just understand, and so much is done just by not saying anything. We just know. All the communication goes on much in a much more refined, epitomized way. So this not only helps us with science, but it helps us with our life. And so if we then take what she's showing and say, yes, I can see she has that point on spiritualism, these unspiritual, impure remedies. So anatomy, I just put on one side. She was talking about how anatomy, well, that's that false medicine, false science of medicine, and false theology. She was comparing both of them. So I just on the left-hand side put anatomy, or medicine, or the sense of science, and on the other side, false theology. And then just started showing how she did it, just as she goes through the text, begin to outline it. So in the middle I say, it says on the left side anatomy, on the right side theology, and then I say both, right in the middle, huh? And then I say what both have under their consideration. She says both have never described man, that's the subject under consideration, as created by spirit alone, as I have. As I have shown you now, that man is only the image and likeness of God. That man is just principles, man, God idea. And that the spiritual realm is the only realm that describes man as principles, man. That the mental and the physical realm do not. Then she says, well, because I'll show you this. Anatomy, now we go over to the left-hand side. It's just talking about how anatomy explains the men of men. Well, that's opposite of truth, man. The children of man. Now with all created physically here. Created corporeally, emerging from the lowest conception of being. So that's created in matter. And then coming back to with the both. Huh? Both define man as both physical and mental, and place mind, the second degree, at the mercy of matter, the first degree, for every function, formation, and manifestation. Then she comes back and isolates it just to talking about anatomy, medicine, the science of medicine, explains man at all points materially. It loses spirit, drops the true tone, and accepts the discord. So she sees that she was working therefore with that sense of just the physical paradigm. We know that medicine begins to attenuate through psychosomatic medicine in these points. But she's just wanting to say that medicine at the standpoint of the first degree, it is just in all points says man is material and deals with him that way. Then with the next abstraction, you see, we can say both, referring to both again. Reject the divine principle, huh? Both reject the divine principle, which produces harmonious man, principle man. You hear the theme of the subject. Truth is principle. And deal, and therefore she says, the one holy, that's the one from the first degree, which she already said was the that false science of medicine. And the other primarily, theology, the second degree that works with the mental. So with matter. So they, she says, both reject the divine principle which produces harmonious man and deal the one wholly and the one other primarily with matter, the first degree, calling that man, which is not the counterpart but the counterfeit of God's man, the opposite of God. Then she brings up theology. Theology tries to explain, that's that principle tone, how to make this man of principle a Christian. From that basis, you see, from this basis of division and discord, to produce concord and unity, showing that's that wrong logic of spirit, that's that false sensual reasoning, that's reasoning out from matter. And she says, has shown that that is not the correct way of arriving at the principle man. And then she goes over and says, well, what about medicine? Well, physiology exalts matter. It dethrones mind. It claims to rule man by material laws. You hear all that opposite of spirit coming in instead of spiritual. When it fails to give health or life, it ignores the divine spirit as unable or unwilling to render help in time of physical need. So you hear all the opposite of spirit coming in, that the truth man is not healed through spiritual means. And then on the theology side, she says, well, on that side, when mortals sin, this ruling of the schools leads them to the guidance of theology, which admits God to be the healer of sin, but it not of sickness. Well, that's that point she brings over many, many times. So she then goes on to show, finally, at that point of Jesus, how he healed, with the next abstraction, man, principles man, and said, well, that truth, consciousness of a Jesus, that mind of Christ, has its spiritual methods. And that mind of Christ, which is based on principle, has its spiritual methods because it heals all classification of disharmony. It heals sin and sickness and physical and moral. So are we beginning to get a little bit more a feeling of how to make these abstractions? I just follow the text. If you could see, it was practically word for word. That's usually how I start out. I think, well, if I can't quite get out of the text, then I will just lay it out. On what, if she's opposing like medicine on one side and theology on the other, then I just start laying it out, and I'll sometimes just write it out as she says it in order to see what she's saying in an abstract form. Then once I see what she's saying in an abstract form, then I can even epitomize it further. So that's not difficult. All right, so we just go on now to the truth as principle as soul tone. So we see then that truth, which is that the divine mind is the only remedy as spirit that heals only through its spiritual channels, which was rediscovered as the basis of healing in science and health at that point of soul as science and rules, and now that heals all classifications of inharmony, that it's the basis to heal, that truth is principle is mind, and that only heals, therefore, through spiritual methods and not doesn't revert to spiritualism. And now that truth is principle of soul, we'll see that in Christian science, the rules of healing never vary. In fact, they outweigh the speculative theories of materia medica. So we hear that sense of soul coming in. How that truth as principle, which is based on mind, which uses only its spiritual channels and only the equipollence of God's logic, the allness of its method, hence the awful unreality of any other methods. Now that those spiritual methods and channels of that mind never vary. So we can mark that with soul. That's that unchangeable soul. So, and they outweigh, well, speculative, that's all soul. They are outside of, they're the superior, which controls the lesser. Speculative is that which is not definite, the opposite of soul. Theories, well, speculative theories would be the opposite of principle, of materia medica. So let's take a look at that point. On 149.3, Okay, now she just keeps building up now the identifying correctly that the only true principle from which healing should be based is the divine mind. All right, so we look here. Mind far outweighs drugs in the cure of disease, as in the cure of sin. The more excellent way is divine science in every case. The more excellent, the materia medica, is materia medica a science or a bundle of speculative human theories? The prescription which succeeds in one instance fails in another. And this is owing to the different mental states of the patient. These states are not comprehended, and they are not without explanation, except in Christian science. The rule and its perfection of operation never vary in science. If you fail to succeed in any case, it is because you have not demonstrated the life of Christ's truth, more in your own life, because you have not obeyed the rule and proved the principle of divine science. Bringing in more and more that medicine is love tone, that medicine is based on the divine principle love. So now as we go to our abstraction, we say, now what is she doing here? The marginal heading is blunders and blunderers. Well, who is the blunderer? She says, well, materia medica is the blunderer. Those speculative theories, see, truth is principle is soul. That materia medica is the speculative soul theories principle that are the opposite of true medicine. So you hear there that whole point of truth is principle as soul under consideration. But again, first being brought out through that one equipollence of God logic, first showing us the awful unreality of these speculative theories. These theories that are not definite theories of the true medicine, but are indefinite theories of the false sense of medicine. So materia medica, she says, is not definite. It's a bundle of speculative human theories. And then she shows why this is true with that sense of soul. The same, that's always soul, the same prescriptions either succeed or they fail. They do both. They succeed and fail. That you get them both. The same prescription, it's just not reliable. It's not based on a principle which is definite. Sometimes these prescriptions succeed, and sometimes they fail. That we know very well. Because of the different mental states of the patient. Bringing that now up, taking that prescription, that first degree, and putting it on the basis of the mental. We'll see this more and more as she goes on now, keeps showing that the mental is behind the physical. This will become clearer and clearer as we go on with the work today. She says the same prescriptions then are indefinite. Sometimes they succeed, sometimes they fail, all because of the different beliefs of the mental standpoint. And now she talks about Christian science, which is definite. That truth, which is principle, which never varies. That truth principle, which is based on rules, on science, and therefore on laws, orders, rules, system, method, form, and plan, which are based on laws, and laws, of course, are based on invariable orders. They never vary. Science, we know, always is knowledge reduced to law, and the meaning of a law is an invariable order of relation of phenomena. So, therefore, laws never vary. Rules never vary. So Christian science is definite because its rules, which never vary, because they're based on orders that never vary, therefore they're laws, and its perfection of operation never vary. Can we see that? Why? Because it's laws. Do you hear what I'm saying? Good. That Christian science is definite, not just because we believe it, but because we have seen that God is a principle. And that principle she explained as the comprehensive law of the universe, which includes all other laws. So, of course, Christian science treatment, which is based on principle, would be based on laws, wouldn't it? And those laws never vary. That's why it never varies. Otherwise, we just would have belief in Christian Science not varying. So with this strong principle tone coming in here as a truth, which is principle, which is soul, you get the definiteness of that principle, that we can rely on that principle to be definite and never varying, because that truth principle are built on laws, that God is the comprehensive law of the universe, which includes all other laws. And as I mentioned then, that when, therefore, it's a science, Christian Science, a science takes that principle, Funkenwagnall says, and reduces it to laws. Well, we see then that how does a science reduce something to laws? A science reduces something to laws by taking that multitude of phenomenon or phenomena, and it reduces that multitude of information by, first of all, ordering it, huh? By taking that information of mind, and it begins to order it. It begins to diversify that information and classify that information and individualize that information. And when science begins to take all that information and diversify it and classify it and individualize it, it can be put in an order. Because when information is all scattered around, it's in chaos. There's no laws in randomness. And as Funkenwagnall said, there is nothing scientific about random, isolated facts. But what is Christian Science, this truth, is that it is a science, and it takes all these facts and differentiates them. And when you have differentiated facts, you can put them in order. This fact comes as point one, this fact comes as point two, this fact point comes as point three, this is four, this is five, this is six. And when we have an order of facts in a science, and when we see that those order of facts never vary, that's a law. A law is an order or relation of phenomena that never vary. And so because this is a truth, which is based, as she's showing, on a principle here, therefore, it never varies. Soul would bring that out, saying, well, you can rely on Christian Science as the only medicine because it's based on God, on principle God. What's principle God? Principle God is the comprehensive law of the universe, which include all other laws. Well, if it's a law, it never varies. You see, soul. So soul would bring that out. So it's a sure. We can rely on that. It is, in Christian Science, the rules of healing never vary because they're based on laws, on a principle, which is truth. Hear the tones? Mm-hmm. And so therefore we say, all right, therefore that Christian Science is definite, it's based on law, order, rules. And its perfection of operation never vary. That's what we see. That this principle, therefore, which never vary, outweighs any speculative theories of medicine. Well, those aren't real laws. They're just speculative theories, the opposite of soul and principle. Speculative, indefinite theories of the human mind. Can you hear? Good. So if we fail to succeed in healing, she says, then we have not within ourselves responded to the Christ as the Christ. We have not seen that sense that it's that truth which is mind, which is based on a principle and laws which never vary. We've seen that truth mind, that mind of Christ is based on principle, didn't we? On the word order, that mind of, on the Christ order, that truth, which is mind, which heals, is based on a principle. It's based on a law. It's based on that law of the Christ order. We see that it has its power then from the Christ order of principle, life, truth, love, those power tones of that principle, which then objectify themselves as soul, spirit, mind. So that mind of Christ outweighs speculative theories because it is based on laws. So if we fail in a case, we have not responded to that mind of Christ that operates only on a principle, only on laws, only on that Christ order, on the laws of interdependence of the Christ, is the mind of Christ to heal. So we haven't responded to that. We haven't demonstrated that life of Christ's truth, that mind of Christ's truth. more in our life, huh? We haven't been obeying the rule and proving that principle of that mind which of Christ which heals from that standpoint of divine science, that that mind is the all in all. So she is more or less admonishing us to respond, therefore, to this truth is mind that heals on the standpoint of principle and laws. So for I just epitomized that, went back to the epitome and said, yes, that that truth, which is mind, is the only remedy because it is based on a principle and laws. And therefore it heals all classifications. Laws are impersonal. They're going to heal everything. We can see why everything is healed within a law. If it was based on personality, as they thought Jesus was, well, Jesus could say, I will heal this case and not that case today. But because he had the mind of Christ, which is based on an impersonal principle, which is based on laws, those laws heal all classification. They don't know whether they're curable or incurable. They only know that the laws are seeking like themselves, and therefore the laws will heal all classification. Can we see? That's why, because it's impersonal. It just operates for everyone. And seeks itself in every situation. It seeks itself in the mental realm, and it seeks itself in the physical realm, and will bring it back to healing on as an impersonal basis. And of course, it heals all classifications of inharmony according to the rules of healing that never vary, according to these laws that never vary. So, with this tone of truth as principle, as soul, then we get the definiteness of that impersonal practice that the mind of Christ is doing when we go out from it. And as it goes out from it, it operates very principled. It operates according to principle and law, healing every case. It's terrific. It keeps impersonalizing and keep making it big, doesn't it? That's why Jesus said, I'm not working. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't call me good because of all these demonstrations. Call the Father. This is just a definite principle that is never varying, and all I'm doing is going out from that truth consciousness and sticking to it and getting out of the way and letting those laws operate impersonally, healing every case. Yes, so let's now, using the same method we've just been using all week, let's just go on to the next point, and then I will begin to abstract even a bit more. Let's start, therefore, looking at that tone of truth as principle as principle. We see then that it says that mind governs all classification of disease and benefits mind and body. Well, that's how, now that mind, which is Christ, the only remedy, which is based on principle, that mind heals according to laws, and therefore those laws are operating impersonally. The laws love everybody. So you have that sense of love in there, that there's not one identity within being that the laws do not love. They love even the most hardened sinner on death row. That error is neither person, place, nor thing, just some claim against God. So it's just the laws only know that everything is God in the universe, and it's just seeking out God in everyone, really seeking out that which is like itself, which causes now, as we see, everything that isn't like itself to go through a retranslation so it's like itself. So it goes right into the cells, right into the prisons, right into every avenue of the world. And we know this is what Jonah didn't like. Jonah said, well, my enemies have been my enemies, and if you save my enemies, I'm just going to get mad about it and not serve the Lord, so I'm going to run away. And so we see, therefore, and welcome that this is an impersonal healing principle that heals all and every single situation and all classifications. Yeah, it's a principle which is love. It goes everywhere. So you see, it will maintain that love tone behind the principle, the impersonal principle. Thank goodness, huh? As it is a healing principle, therefore, as principle is principle, that will just want to come out even stronger and show, therefore, that truth, which is mind, which is based on an impersonal laws, that mind, now we know, heals all classification of disease because laws are impersonal. Laws govern every realm. Now it wants to show that those laws are governing the spiritual realm as well as the mental realm, as well as the physical realm, that all realms are under the laws and control of God, that the what we call mental and physical realms is just the way God looks like when misunderstood. So we then go and read that in on page 149:17, which she will just bring this out quite nicely. Okay. A physician of the old school remarked with great gravity. We know that mind affects the body somewhat and advise our patients to be hopeful and cheerful and to take as little medicine as possible. But mind can never cure organic difficulties. The logic is lame and facts contradict it. The author has cured what is termed organic disease as readily as she has cured purely functional disease, and with no power but the divine mind. Since God, divine mind, governs all, not partially, but supremely, predicting disease does not dignify therapeutics. Whatever guides thought spiritually benefits mind and body. We need to understand the affirmations of divine science, dismiss superstition, and demonstrate truth according to Christ. Today, there is hardly a city, village, or hamlet in which are not to be found living witnesses of monuments to the virtue and power of truth as applied through this Christian system of healing disease. So we say, yes, I hear that, and I will abstract it. I begin to see how she is opposing the old school physicians with Christian science. And I say, yes, all right, I will set my notes up in this particular order. And she says, well, those old schools of physicians, what are they doing? They're just working basically within the mental and physical realm. And what they say is that mind affects the body somewhat. So because of that, they advise us to be hopeful and cheerful, to take a little medicine as possible. But she shows here that mind, they say, can never cure organic difficulties, which are those we know inborn difficulties relating to the organs, those innate, inborn difficulties the mind can never cure.